is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is...
News for the Soul phone lines are now open. Call in now for a free intuitive reading on the air. Dial 646-595-4274. That's 646-595-4274.
Okay, a little glitchy on the board on the start. Soul Awakening with Tara is now. Let's see if we can hear her on the board. Can you hear me, Tara? Are you there?
Hi, it's Chrissy. And with Soul Awakening, though.
Good grief.
I know, it's usually both of us.
All right, but you're here. Let's get you to intro the show and let everyone know what's up.
All right. Welcome back. This is Soul Awakening with Chrissy. I'm a psychic medium and my sessions blend intuitive guidance and life coaching. The sessions that I offer here on the show are short and sweet. And to get the most out of them, please just ask like one or two things and then I can keep going to get as many people as the time allows. For today's show, I'd like to discuss being curious instead of judgmental. But first I'll ask Nicole, are the lines ready and waiting or should I just go into the topic now?
We got a couple that hung on for the weird glitchy opening there. Hope the rest will call back in. So did you want to do a call or two and dive in later?
Yeah, since they've been waiting so patiently.
All one.
Hi, this is Nicole. Welcome back to your show. Thank you for taking my call. Hi, ma'am.
Hi.
Okay, what's your first name and where are you calling in from?
Hey, yes, Ms. Nicole. My name is Melissa from Arizona.
Hello. What can I address for you today?
Yes, thank you so much. So, like you said, I'm making short. I always do. Because we love the show and we love people like you. Sometimes it's hard, but yes, ma'am. My question is, so, Miss, I have a male friend, right? And, you know, I think this is that second or third time that we have, like, not talked for a little bit, just, like, maybe past certain days, because I got a little bit irritated. But it's best to not say, to be polite and then be rude. But still, quietness can be rude. But I just want to know, like, is he still upset at me or... He's still going to be around there to help? Like, and do I hear from him sometime this week?
So I'm going to ask you a question, right? Because my topic is being curious.
Yeah, you're curious.
Yeah, you got it. So I want to ask, instead of jumping straight to feeling like he's out, right, or he's left, or, you know, like you're not going to hear from him again, maybe you can ask him questions, right? Like, hey, I just want to reach out and say, you know, I understand that I may have gone a little bit, I got a little flustered and said some things I didn't really mean or, you know, whatever comes to mind for you, right? And I just want to know, like, how did that leave you? Do you feel like you could be comfortable enough to ask him, like, when I said those things that made you might want to back away, how did that leave you feeling?
Is that something you feel like you could ask? Yeah, I can ask. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that today. If you don't answer your voice message.
Okay. And I think that would be so good. And just own up to anything that you feel like, if you feel like you missaid something or if you feel like you drove him away in some way, because I feel like that's what's happening, right? You feel like maybe you got a little too emotional. Just ask, you know, on the voicemail or directly to him, you know, I get that I did this or did that, and I just want to know, like, how did that leave you? Are you okay over there? Did I run you away? You know, and just let him know straight up, this is how I'm feeling, and I didn't mean to make you feel a certain way. So how are you doing over there?
I wrote down, I'm going to do that. And after I do that, do you see me again?
Yeah, I think you being very vulnerable and just taking ownership of anything that you feel like was off-putting and just putting it out there and being like, listen, I'm owning up to being this certain way around this certain topic. And I'm just letting you know, like, I get that I could have been a little bit too emotional about that subject. And I just want to know, like, how are you left over there? And that will open up the dialogue again. That'll get him to talk to you again. Because, you know, you're telling him, like, I get that I need to own that, right?
Okay. So if I do that, then hopefully for him this week, okay, I'm going to do what you said, man, because you are a professional, you know.
Yeah.
And I want to help myself.
You know, if I said anything that was inappropriate, I just want to apologize. If I don't want to leave you in a certain space that you don't feel comfortable speaking to me. So if I did that, I just wanted to tell you I'm sorry and I'm owning up to that. And I just want to see how are you doing, you know, keep it short and sweet. And then I think that I'll have him reach right back out to you.
Okay, that is a beautiful strategy. So if I do that, and then you do see him returning back, because I think we both got flustered, like you said. Maybe you got it right.
Yeah.
And I was having a very bad day, but I didn't say nothing angry. I always keep quiet.
You just own up to that. You know, I was having a bad day. I got flustered. I understand, like, I probably upset you in the process, and I just wanted to take ownership of that and let you know, like, I get that I'm in the wrong there, and I just wanted to check on you and see how you're doing.
Definitely would do that. And and what a thing, ma'am. If I do this today, you think before Friday I hear from him?
Yeah, I think he's going to reach back out to you.
Awesome. That's beautiful. And what you said, I'm also going to do that with somebody else, is you answered, like, actually 4 people questions in a short amount of time. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome, Melissa. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
There we go. One sorted out. Let's try to go to the next. Hopefully you can hear me okay still, Chrissy.
Yeah.
My line's a little weird. The board's a little weird. It's jumping all over the place. Let's go to 630. 630, what's your first name? Where are you calling in from?
Hi there, Lisa from the Midwest. Hi, Lisa. Hi, how you doing, Chrissy?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for calling. What can I help you with today?
Sure. Okay, so I was looking for a property, and I wanted to check in on a couple things with it to see what you see with it, like if I have a couple of kind of issues with it, you know.
So you have a property that you're what?
Well, I've been looking for a property, but I'm thinking I should only, it's a condo, but it really scares me. Like, I found something that I was interested in going seeing, but it was a self-managed building, and I'm just not comfortable with that. And I wondered, like, what you see with that, because kind of view it as just kind of dangerous without a management company.
Yeah, the first
relying
thing
on just a board.
Is repairs. The first thing I see is, what? Like, it's going to need repairs, like, unexpectedly. And that's a lot for probably you to manage on your own. So I think that gut feeling is pretty accurate for you on that one.
Okay, great. Because, like, a really weird thing happened. I had, like, a stepped up sink right when I thought about it. And it made me think that, too, like, with repairs, you know, not just to rely on a board to make decisions, like, who's responsible. You know what I mean? Like, a management company, you need kind of an intermediator. So I'm not going to worry about that. And then
I
just wondered.
You're spot on with that.
Good, you know, because
having a middleman.
Yeah, because, I mean, things could come up in your unit and, you know, it could be serious.
Exactly.
You could be stuck with a big bill if they won't approve it or do it on time or just say that you're responsible when you shouldn't be. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And, then
I feel like
you're
very spot on with that. So good job.
Okay. And then the other thing is, like, what do you see with it? Because I'm just getting frustrated, you know. Nothing was on the market. Now things are coming a little bit in the area that I want to move, but I just wonder what kind of time frame you see.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
I'm getting, like, combing through something. So I don't know if it's, like, I don't know what you're looking through, but I see, like, continue looking through, kind of combing through is the terminology that comes up. So it's like picking through certain things that you might have to dig a little bit deeper, maybe ask around, ask resources. But I feel like something's coming and that you will get what you're looking for as far as the space.
Do you think like later this year or kind of when do you see that happening?
In a pretty timely manner. I don't feel like you're going to have to be waiting too long. I think you're just going to have to like really, really look, right? It's not going to just pop out for you. It's like you're going to have to kind of really look for it, and then you'll see it. A few things will pop up for you.
And anything good goes within a week because of what's going on with the market. So just have to act on it right away. If something comes up, hopefully, when you say
I feel like you'll know. You'll have like, you know, go with your gut because it is strong. And I feel like you will know when it comes up. You'll be like, oh, I'm so happy. I went, you know, that I didn't go with that other one and I went with this one. It just, everything about it feels good.
Okay. And then
you'll feel
the last
jump forward in that.
Thank you. And then the last thing with it is like, you know, I have a cat and she's just like, it's really hard. She's emotional problems. I think something happened to her before me and I've had her now for about 2.5 years. And I don't want to give her up, but I just feel like, you know, like if I move, like, you know, it has to be in a building that allows cats. So I guess like unless something happens that I just can't take care of her, my feeling is I still love her, not to give her up. I don't know what you're seeing with that.
I feel like she's going to stay with you. I think it's going to work out. I see her staying with you, so you're going to have it work out.
Yeah, because, you know, I think like, you know, I could like look back if I do. It's not like anything really serious. There's some major kind of things, but it's nothing like I can't like handle right now. But, like, if I couldn't just have the animal, then I'd have to give her up, you know, because I'm all alone. Like, let's say I got really sick or something like that. But that's not the case right now, or that I can't have
the cat. I don't see it even being, like, a big issue. I feel like everything is going to go pretty smoothly, including the cat. Like, I don't see it being, like, any big obstacle for you.
Do you think, like, she'll get better over time? It's been 3 years. She's just pretty needy, but I do love her, you know?
I think that's just her personality. Yeah.
What?
I think that's just her personality.
Okay. But she's pretty happy, right? And she feels thankful, I think.
Yeah, she wants to be with you. So if you can make that work and it seems like it's not going to be an obstacle from what I can see, I think that you guys will be okay. I think it's just her personality. She's just the way she is. So I don't see her changing.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, like if you did give her up and there wasn't a really, really good reason, you know, there could be, like I said, if I just can't keep her, there could be a reason or two, then that's it, and that happens. But, you know, otherwise I think I'd look back and think like, well, maybe I did the wrong thing, you know what I mean?
Do you have like a climbing tree or a scratching post for her?
Not a scratching post, but there's this something in my bedroom that she goes on that she can scratch.
Okay. I feel like she wants something that she can kind of reach up for and scratch and climb into. I feel like she needs something more, like a cat tree. Nothing big or extensive, but like something that maybe has like a little hammock on it and something she can scratch on. That's what I'm seeing. So if you don't have that, I'm guessing that's what she...
A little stimulation too, right? Besides just a little playing, a little bit more stimulation.
Yeah, like she's bored and she wants her own like little space, and I feel like that will help too.
Okay.
And she doesn't have toys.
And I think like
providing her with things that will keep her busy and occupied and
I have toys I could play with her with that I need to do that a little more to make her even happier. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that'll kind of give you some space too, because she'll be like, okay, I got a lot, and now I'm ready to go off and sleep. You know.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I'll let you go.
You're
the
welcome.
Next person.
Thank you for calling in.
All right, keep in touch, let us know how it goes. This would be that lull we've discussed as we continue to get the lines functioning.
All right, so like I said, I'm going to talk about being curious instead of judgmental, and I try to, you know, focus on something that I'm working on in my own life in hopes that it brings listeners some perspective to their own lives. And I can honestly say that I'm guilty of having automatic assumptions or thoughts that are less than productive or, you know, at times just mean or judgmental. So I'm continuing to, like, improve my overall outlook and perspective on life. And I don't want necessarily what comes automatic, right? So I'm choosing to make a conscious effort to set aside what I believe to be true and just be curious as to what else might be happening, either over there in that situation or over there with somebody else, right? So like I said, it's not natural, it's not automatic, and I'm by no means perfect, and it takes a level of really listening actively and being vulnerable in some instances. So it makes you set aside what you think that you already know about a given person or situation, and, you know, in some cases takes compassion and empathy for others, probably in most cases. So a great example of something that we've been dealing with lately is a couple of the neighbor kids. And a great example that recently happened is my 7-year-old came to me after having a conflict with a kid in their neighborhood. And this one particular child uses manipulation to acquire any given desired result that he wants, right? And my son asked, why is he like that? And in the moment, it's really hard for me to not just say the first thing to have and go into all the reasons that I think this child or his parents could do or be better, right? Because...
And the lines are still going a bit buggy. We've lost Chrissy, who hopefully will dial back in and hopefully is not talking to dead air. Oh, there she's back already. Let me just get her on.
Nowhere I was with
dogs. Yeah, boards are crazy. And you're back.
All right. I don't know where I was dropped, so.
7-year-old came to you about another child.
Oh, okay. So he uses manipulation to get what he wants. And my son asked me, like, why is he like that? And in those moments, it's hard for me not to say automatically the reasons I think that, you know, there's something wrong with the kid or their parents or something along those lines. And my wife and I try to instill kindness and empathy toward others with our kids, right? So we demonstrate how to work through conflict. We try to find solutions that work for everyone when available. And we practice this often when the kids are over. And I tell you this so that you understand that it wouldn't be a match for me to say something nasty when my mama bear instincts just want to take over. So instead of going on the defense, I asked my son what he thought about the situation and why he thought the child might be acting the way he was. And we ended up going back and forth about the possibilities of why the child might want to be hurtful toward him. And I think it was empowering for both of us to see that it probably has nothing to do with my son personally, but rather whatever that kid was going through, either at home or in school, maybe both. And we talked about some of the situations that may be affecting that child as to why he treats others in a hurtful way. And it's more likely that what we found is that it was likely that he spent a lot of time feeling disempowered. And in a way for him to regain power, he was hurtful toward my son and very likely other people as well. And so seeing the neighbor child as a victim of this disempowerment that he's experiencing helped us to have a greater compassion and empathy toward him. And it helped me and my son kind of work out all the other things that could have been happening, right? Instead of just assuming that we know that he's just mean. And this is an example that I figured was relatable to other people. And maybe it could open up something for you in relation to someone in your life and maybe even shift your perspective even just for the remainder of the day. And hopefully you can choose to be curious and not just jump to judgmental thoughts about each person that you encounter today and maybe even in the days that follow. And so for like another instance, in a time of rapid and typically written communication, maybe just pause and take time the next time you like receive an email or a text from someone, and instead of assuming a tone or a deeper meaning, just be curious and even ask questions that will provide clarity. So if they text you something that seems abrupt or unkind, or even if you're just really not sure what the tone they're going for is and if it could be interpreted in different ways, ask them to provide clarity in order to open up dialogue and make room for empathy and hopefully result in you being and feeling more empowered and the other person as well, right? Because if we can see all the ways in which the other person might be dealing with life, or, you know, the lenses that could be we'll say, fogged up with their experiences, right? And how they see you and how they interact. It would help us have more empathy toward them. So I'll see, is there anyone waiting on the lines, or if anyone has something they want to add to that or anything that they've experienced, or if they want help navigating that, they can ask me about that as well.
We're still working on the lines. Glad to see you're still on one of them. how did that explanation land with your child, and were there any results out of that? People are curious about that.
Okay, so my son was asking, you know, I'm trying to think exactly what happened. So I'm trying to keep it vague in case the parents listening, but I don't think they are. But the mother is pregnant right now, and she probably doesn't have a lot of energy. And we said that probably factors into a lot of, you know, this what happened with him. He went over to his house. The little boy invited him over, which he barely goes over there because the kid wants to be over here. And so when he went over, he just wanted to play video games. And my son's not really interested in that because we're very, like, board games, and he likes to use his imagination and play. And so he's really excited about having a playmate, right, anytime one's available. And so him just wanting to do video games wasn't exciting for my son. So he told him, you know, well, can we play toys in your room? And little boy's like, no, I'm playing video games. And you can do that with me, or you can go play by yourself in my room with my toys. And when he asked for help with a toy, the son, little boy was like, yeah, I'm not going to help you. That's one of my special toys anyway, is just go put it back. And instead of, like, the mother intervening and helping in some way, she's like, well, yeah, you can just go play in there by yourself, or you can play video games, because that's what he's doing right now. And so my son's like, okay, well, I'm just going to go ahead and go home because I feel like this is not really something I want to do. And if you want to play later, then just let me know, right? And then my son came home, and I could just tell something was wrong, right? And he, you know, he came up to me, and he looked sad, and I'm like, what's going on? Because I wasn't expecting him back yet. And he told me the situation. And I said, you know, what do you think could have been the reason, right? And then, you know, of course, the stuff comes up of, you know, he just doesn't want to play with me, and I don't know, I don't understand. And we just kind of look deeper, and I'm like, well, what do you think could have been going on? You know, do you think maybe it wasn't a great time for you to go over? Maybe his mom wasn't feeling well and didn't really want to have to navigate that between you guys? You know, just all the possibilities that could be happening, right? And I was like, do you think he maybe didn't have a great day at school today? And so it's easier just to play games and kind of check out. You know, so we just looked at all the different possibilities, and my son felt a lot better because he gets that it's not, at that moment he got like, it's not about me, and he doesn't not want to play with me. He just doesn't want to engage at that level today. So it helped him to feel more empowered and know that it's not personal.
Hmm. It also brings up another option. You know, I mean, a lot of kids are checked out on video games, and that's what they do, but you're encouraging more interactive levels of consciousness and interaction in your home. So I'm surprised this hasn't come up before, actually. And what are your thoughts about that?
Well, we homeschool, which I think is drastically different than most people, just in general. So we do a lot of hands-on stuff. We do a lot of games and board games and things like that. And we don't really watch TV often. We don't really play video games as often. And I encourage imaginary play. And I think because I've been active in that, it helps him feel, I think, creative and imaginative himself, right? And we have a lot of fun. And so he sees how much fun it really is. And I don't know how much time parents that are working and their kids are in school and stuff have much time to, like, engage in a lot of play. Or, you know, we use a lot of games in order to learn. You know, you have to count the little die, you have to add up things, and we use all that toward homeschooling. So anybody's also having fun and getting to see this interaction is really fun, right? And I think a lot of kids are missing that these days. And so it's also easier to parent by letting your kids play video games and allowing them to watch TV and not having to, it's a lot of work, right? Playing with kids is a lot of work. And when the other kids come over, he sees that Tara and I are very present, right? And we help the kids navigate when necessary. So like if they're starting to fuss about something, we're like, hey, you know, what's going on? And then we help them. I'm trying to like kind of back away as much as possible, but we help them work through it, right? What's happening? Is it safe? You know, because sometimes it's a safety factor where the kids are doing something they're not meant to be doing because it's not safe, and my son's telling them no. And they're like, well, I want to do this, and well, I'm going to go home then, you know, or something like that. So he sees how we step in, and we're like, hey, you know, this is the rules at our house, and, you know, let's look at what we can do and what is fun, you know, so we give a lot of options. And we don't allow him to do something that's, like, isolating or, you know, if he has a friend over, then he is to play with a friend, right? He's not meant to go play on a video game. And because that's a rule in our house, it seems really foreign for him to go over there, and then that's what happens, right? So, of course, he was confused by that.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what's coming up as the bigger issue is parenting styles. And, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people use the electronic babysitters of TV, videos, and video games. So, I mean, this just must be coming up every time, you know, every time he goes out. So,
mm-hmm. It comes up a lot. It's something that we are trying to have a lot of empathy around and show him, like, you know, everyone lives life a little differently, and to try not to be, we want him to be empathetic, right? We want him to be understanding of how other people live as well, and not just be like, oh, well, they're doing it wrong. And I never want to come across like that either, because I understand it's hard. These parents are working possibly more than even one job. And then, you know, to come home and have to manage everything else is a lot, you know, by the time you get dinner done and all that and homework and whatever else is happening, there's not a whole lot of time to do much else, right? So I understand why they get stuck in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I did have a lot of upset around it in the beginning until I got to see, like, you know, where can I be more empathetic? Where can I be more understanding? Because it was a source of a lot of upset over here for quite a while.
Well, it's teaching him empathy over that overall else is pretty huge.
Yeah.
So the lines are still going wonky. We do have a few emails that we can go to unless you wanted to spend more time talking on this ever-interesting subject. Up to you.
Let me see. We can go to the email. Let's see what's going on over there. I haven't done that in a while.
Okay. We've got some, they're pretty general thus far. We have Travis in New York, and he's wondering if you're picking up anything around his career happening in the next while.
So the first thing that comes up is move, and I was asking, you know, is it that he's moving? And it seems like you're making a shift from one, like, career or one, like, area of your career to another. And it looks like that's the next, like, big thing for you as you're shifting into something different. It feels like it's not drastically different, but like different than maybe what your specialty is or what you've been doing, but kind of in the same realm. So I feel you like you're going to be transitioning to something different, like a different title, but the same type of job, if that makes sense. So that's what I'm picking up for Travis in New York. And thank you for calling, or thank you for emailing in.
All right. I've got a Christina, also in New York, and she's wanting general love life info.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I got, as soon as you stop looking, the person, there are going to be people just all over the place. So it's like you have this attachment of like to finding someone or making this specific person work. And it's like, as soon as you move away from that and kind of focus on you. So I see the focus shifts to just you. So when you look at what you need and what you want and you start focusing on just you, it's like all these people come out of the woodwork or something. And it's like all these available people start to come into your space. And then it's like you can freely choose who it is that you want to engage with at that point. But right now it's kind of the reason it feels kind of like it's not happening for you or it's not happening the way you want it to is because you're not really sure what that looks like, because you haven't really, we'll say, dated yourself, right? You haven't really taken the time to get to know you and what you actually really do want, right? So instead of just jumping into whoever or whatever or trying to make it work with someone who's really just not a great fit for you, I feel like you need to focus on you and what you want for you. So focus all that energy that you're putting out there to try to find someone else or to make that relationship you're in work, and shift it all back to you and what you want, what you need. Take yourself out on the town. Just shift all the energy toward yourself and don't look outwardly. And I feel like that will change like everything for you in regards to your romance and your dating life and all of that. So thank you, Christina, for emailing in. Let us know what happens with that.
Yes, let us know when there's people everywhere. That sounded kind of horrifying to me, but whatever works. let's see what we've got here. Ian in the UK. All right. Ian in the UK wants a general spirit reading about his marriage.
Ian. So this is a hard one, right? Because the first thing that, well, I guess it occurs to me as like some of the hardest work to do is forgiveness work. But that's like the first thing that like slammed me as soon as your name came up. So I would say there's a lot of forgiveness work to do around yourself and your wife. What I mean by that is like, it feels like there's a lot of stuff that has gone either unsaid or just hasn't fully worked through. You guys, I feel like both of you are kind of stuck in I feel like grudge is the wrong word, but it feels like, you know, you're stuck in your ways, you're stuck in your way of thinking, and you're not really considering, you haven't fully forgiven each other. There's like animosity being held. I feel like there's just so much that goes unsaid, or if it's said, it's not actually landing over there, or you guys aren't feeling like heard, and it doesn't feel like the issues aren't getting completed because there's not full forgiveness. And that's where I feel like will make just like a heap of difference for you guys. So I would look into maybe counseling or something around that so that you have a safe space and somebody to kind of mediate keeping it safe, right? So if you guys go to talk, I mean, it feels like this is like an ongoing thing. So if you have someone to help mediate the conversation, it'll help you get to the core of things so that you guys can stay safe and that person can help you stay on task so that you don't get pulled away in different, you know, tangents or upset, and we'll keep the conversation moving instead of either one of you shutting down. And I feel like that will make such a difference for you. So give that a go, and I hope, you know, that it works out in the way that you want it to, because I feel like there's still so much love there. And
that's nice.
I see so much good. So it's worth it, Ian.
Yeah, keep in touch. Let us know how it goes. Press forward like crazy. We've got a couple lines on. Let's come while they're still there. Yes, we've been dropping lines, people. 9-4, you're basically, if you are lucky enough to hang on. 914, what's your first name? Where are you calling in from?
Hi, it's Catherine from New York.
Hi.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how's it going today? I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Good, good. I'm happy to hear that. I have a question, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. I'm having an event, and I was wondering if you feel Sam might be the right person to do it with at Sam's place, or Kelly, or Kelly's place.
Give me one sec.
Thank you.
So may I ask you, what is the hesitation around Sam?
Because I was speaking to someone before, and I liked her at the time. Her name was Gaia. So I kind of feel bad if I go away from Gaia, but I really don't feel too much support there. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking Sam might be the right choice. Is that what you're picking up on also?
Yeah, I feel like why wouldn't he be your first choice? Like, what's
yeah.
your hesitation? And it's because you're staring
yeah.
down the ceiling? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you already know.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that
Thanks.
Confirmation, right? Like that?
Yes, yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, you're on. You got it. Sam feels like the way to go.
Thank you. Thank you
and
so God much.
Feels like, it feels like as long as you tell her and you're open and honest, like it shouldn't be an issue either. And I would just tell her, you know, I'll worry about hurting your feelings, but, you know, I feel like I'm going to go with Sam and this is why. And I feel like there doesn't have to be any animosity or anything there either.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys are going to be fine.
Oh, good, good. Because I wanted to do other stuff with her down the line eventually.
Yeah, just let her know that. And it's good to just, you know, tell people, right? So that you're not having to hide out or anything later. You
right,
know what I mean by
thank
that?
You.
Yeah.
Yes, you're yes.
Welcome. Okay.
Thank you. God bless you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Thank
All
you.
All right. Now it goes. Keep in touch. And 360, you hung in there, so you're next. What's your first name? Where are you calling in from?
My name is Margie Houston, and I'm calling from Washington State.
Hi, Margie.
Hello. How are you? Actually,
good,
I love this show, and I'm so glad to hear you guys on again. And you guys are doing such a great service to the community. I totally appreciate that. And my question is, I'm kind of like a little bit spinning my wheels. There's a couple of different places that I feel that I could do my best to be service to the community. But yet I keep getting drawn back to children, although it's a really hard environment to be in. And I'm wondering if that's where I should be.
Mm-hmm. I totally understand that it's hard. The first thing that came up when I said it is to go bigger. So I don't know if you're thinking smaller scale, but I feel like you have big things happening. You have so much more to offer than maybe you are, or you're kind of keeping yourself small. I feel like you're meant to go bigger, if that resonates with you.
It does, and that
okay.
was my. That's where I've been hesitating, because I feel that at times, as of recently, I feel like I'm maybe quote unquote too old, or I'm not properly trained.
No, not at all. Like this is like such a good fit for you.
Okay.
This is where you're like lit up, right? Like you feel like you're in your element when you're doing it.
Yes, and the only reason I hesitate right now is because I do feel like it's supposed to be big. And
yes, I feel bigger, even bigger than you thought bigger.
Yeah, it feels like it's like a worldwide change for children, young adults, mm-hmm. for adults, as well as families and communities. And I feel like I don't have a good, that I'm doubting myself, that I don't have enough, like I said, I feel inadequate.
Yeah, it's like the imposter syndrome a lot of people deal with. And you're not alone in that. And it's bogus.
Okay.
because you're totally qualified and you are going to be just on fire in the best possible way. And like, yes, okay. This is such a good fit for you. And just to keep moving forward and know, like, you were meant to be doing this.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, and God bless you both. And keep going. It's a wonderful thing that you guys are doing. Thank you.
Thank you. And I say the same for you.
I have a quick question for you, Margie. You've been calling into the show for many years, right?
And I know you.
And I met you in a cafe when we were meeting Greg Braden personally, right?
We were down in a little town, well, a town called Linwood, and we were milling around looking for him. Yes, ma'am. That's me.
Yeah. And since you talked to me, that was just when it was my radio show. This is a radio network with many different hosts. I'm not usually on. Yeah. So you're calling in different shows now. There's many, including all the old interviews with Ray Braden in the archives and my latest getting around to it anyway, stuff getting in there. So
thank you.
Just wanted to expand your universe. So you might find some more support and resources and help because every show is different.
Well,
7 days
the reason
a week.
Why I love this is because right now what I'm looking at as to this thing with children, I really feel that shows like yours and others are like going to benefit and should be benefiting children and adults and families. That's what my strong point.
And so you got to think big, and there's a reason that I'm on this call that you happen to be randomly calling into today, right?
Yep.
So there you go.
Thank you
more
so much. Thank you
for
having me. Thank you.
All right.
Have a great one, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Margie. Check out the archives, newsoul.com. What are we doing? Oh, taking calls. Let's take a call. 352. 352, what's your first name? Where are you calling in from?
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I'm calling from sunny Mesa, Arizona. It's about 100 degrees here, and it's hot. Very hot.
I don't know if he's calling in for a meeting or a session. I'm not sure. Stand by. We're just a few minutes to the show, and I don't know if we have time for that. Let's go to 954. 954, what's your first name? Where are you calling in from? 954? The one that's unmuted now? Yellow. Okay, an interesting show, interesting vibe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Odd, unusual. Okay, there's always something cool that comes out of that, so I'm just highlighting that for us. Did you have more to say about the children discussion we were having before, or would you like me to pull some more out of the emails for you in the last, I think we've got about 7 minutes to the top.
I guess I'll address the parents that might be listening and just invite them to engage and be present as much as possible. And it's such a need for kids, especially well, all children, right? Even teens and young children. But I feel like so many people fall into the ease, like we said, of technology and feeling like everything else is so important. And the way we have just rapid communication, like I said before, and just how everyone is able to communicate with everyone just all the time. And we somehow feel like we are just meant to respond immediately to everything, right? And to always put all that up first and foremost, and like we should always be available all the time. And I invite you guys to take time for family and really put the priority on family and put, you know, electronics away, put off anything that is work-related when you're home if possible. And I think typically it really is. And the more you make yourself available at all times, the more people will take advantage of that. and just try to understand, like, it is affecting your family and the people who are closest to you. Try to be more present more often. Even just small 15-minute windows where you can be completely and utterly right there for your child or your spouse or whoever else is important to you and your family, your animal, right? People forget about those too. So, you know, take that 15 minutes that you're going to scroll social media or, you know, that you find yourself just sitting on your phone or watching a show or something, you know, turn all that off and look for the actual people, right? And invite them to have a conversation or to be one-on-one with you. And you'll see how much that 15 minutes really makes a difference, right? Not just for the person you're talking to, but for you as well. And to really feeling more connected, because technology is not always that, right? It's the people who are actually physically there. And technology has its wonderful, beautiful purposes, right? But try not to let it dominate your life. Try not to let it dominate your children's life. It's so easy to fall into that. So I just invite you guys to look, where can I be more present in my life, right? Where can I notice that I'm checking out? And where can I decide and consciously choose to the people who are around me in real time?
I think the big question...
Sorry, I thought I got dropped again.
Oh, okay. No, still here, for the love of God. For the parents, I think the big question is, how did you end up getting a reasonably unplugged child?
Like I said, it takes, like, being really committed. It's not accidental, that's for sure. I think partly it's like I'm not really a TV watcher. We didn't even own a TV for so long, and that wasn't something that we, like, automatically relied on or fell back on or thought about. So I think that helped early on. And then when he was, I think he was 3 when we first got a TV, and it was given to us by my sister-in-law. And that was nice because it was, like, when I was really trying to focus on, like, learning for him, and we knew that we wanted to homeschool. So we really tried to just gear it toward learning and only programs that will help toward that. And I think that helped too. I'm trying to think. I'm sure YouTube was used and stuff, but it wasn't like to the point where, you know, we get sucked in, or he wasn't, you know, to that point yet. Right. So I think once they already are, it's kind of hard because it is, like, addictive.
Right.
But really just, I mean, you're the parent, right? So it's like, hey, we're going to do this now. And just gently and consistently moving them away from it with something that's also really engaging and fun, right? So if you're like, hey, I have this game ready, you don't ask, right? You just present. Like, hey, let's go play. Like, one of the things that we love is Guess Who? And we'll play that, or Hungry Hungry Hippos. We have, like, tons of board games, right? But those are the kind of the ones that he's into right now. And we have a few that are his favorite, and I'll just go grab a game, and I'll be like, hey, like, if I do catch him, like, going on YouTube or something, I'm like, hey, or he'll ask for the tablet, I'm like, do you want to do this? So it really does take a lot of effort from the parents to especially retrain the children if they're already used to having tablets and TV and things like that, and just go outside and play with them, or play a game with them, or engage with them, or play Barbies or whatever, cars. The kids freaking love it. The neighborhood kids I know, like, they don't get to play with adults ever because, like, they love it. They come over here and they just don't know what to do with themselves when we play with them because it's just so great. So I really feel like there's definitely, like, they'll definitely engage with you, right? So if it's really a problem where they don't want to, you might really have to put your game on, right, and make it really fun and be playful about it and try not to get serious or caught up on, like, it has to go a certain way. But, like, tag and hide and seek outside, the kids eat it up. You know, it doesn't take a lot of effort on our side, right? We're being there and we're present. We're initiating, we're keeping the game going, but the kids love it. Or we, like, challenge them to racing. Oh man, there's nothing better than racing when you're little. Everybody wants to be faster and run harder and try, you know, beating their own times and stuff. So I think
legit
it's really
fun.
The parents.
Option.
Just engaging.
Yep.
What's up?
Legit fun options. Yep. There you go. Fun, fun, fun. Well, that ended up on a good light note. We had to take the top of the hour. We now have about a minute before time to wrap up. So shameless self-promotion, what have you got for us?
Hey, if you guys want to know more about me and what I have to offer, go to the radio's website, newsforthesoul.com. Look for Chrissy, that's me, Soul Awakening. Follow that link and contact me via my website, www.soulawakeningcenter.com. Like I said, it's at that link. For intuitively guided answers to whatever you might be dealing with. And I contact with people that have passed on. I also offer practical, straightforward life coaching. So you get all of that. And I actually super love doing readings, and I look forward to booking you guys. So give me a call. And thank you, Nicole.
Thanks, Chrissy. We'll see you next time. And Chrissy's all linked up in the show schedule. Go to newsforthesoul.com. We've got open lines, another attempt at such, in a couple of hours, 2 p.m. 2 p.m. Pacific, we've got open lines, channeled readings through Laura. And we'll see you there.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.